spectrum of things that are doable. And we find that that's such an antidote to despair and also an antidote to small thinking.
Now, looking at some of the list of the various events, one of my favorite events I worked on for many years was the issue of divesting from fossil fuels, which you see is on September 17th. And also one of the groups I interviewed maybe a year or two ago was from Marbletown, and they're talking about the low-cost climate innovations. So what were those two workshops or events about, and what are some of the others you might want to highlight?
Okay, yeah, it's a real spectrum of actionable stuff. The divestment thing, people, you know, you think your bank is just kind of neutral, it's just the bank, but they actually invest money in large capital projects. And, you know, there's a big movement to pull banks and pension funds out of fossil fuel investments. So Michael Richardson from Greenfaith has really delved and helps people find alternative places to put their money, like Clean Energy Credit Union. Who knew there was such a thing? A Marbletown we've worked with for several years. We helped them to craft 100% renewable, basically a transition plan. And, you know, we started wanting to do it to happen yesterday. In fact, it's a 20-year plan, but it's going to get probably renewables into the majority by, you know, within 10 years. And they're helping people to sign up for community solar. We've got an energy coach. You know, we've done workshops with, you know, on EVs and charging and heat pumps. They're looking into a district geothermal loop. And I think a lot, you know, we can help any town to project their energy use, their electricity use, their number of vehicles, ballpark, you know, what their buildings are using, and just start figuring out, you know, where will you put the renewable energy and how will you build a consensus for it? So you've got a good nose in picking those out.
So
let me just mention in schools, because everybody, you know, the young generation gets it and needs support and needs resources. So there's a couple, Eben Goodstein from Bard College has this workshop called Make Climate a Class for teachers. Whatever you teach, you know, even if it's classics or something. So that's, if any teachers are listening, that is really valuable.
So what are you hoping to come out of this week-long or nine-day-long festival?
We are looking to reach at least 1 million people, and we are looking to inspire people like crazy to realize what coordinated action can do. You know, people tend to think, well, either it's national policy or it's changing your light bulbs, and we think that the stuff in the middle, changing your town's streetlights, you know, and then changing its fleet and school buses, that there's a scale of action that is small enough for people to really plug in on and yet big enough to really matter. And so we just want to keep building and stoking that movement of innovators.
So how many of these events are in person versus virtual? And, you know, you talk about the Hudson Valley. How geographically, how widespread is this?
So it's north to Hudson, at least, or actually several, the divestment workshops are sprinkled around Columbia, Dutchess County, and down to Palisades, almost to New York City. And I think 50-50 virtual and in person. A lot of libraries, there's a program called Library of Local that is about, you know, they got tool lending and, you know, all kinds of practical education about low-impact living. So libraries up and down the region.
Now, do you find that most people already understand, you know, what climate is about, climate change, and are looking for ways to help? Or do you still need to do sort of basic climate 101 education for people?
Both. There's a study that happens every couple of years from Yale and George Mason universities shows 58% or something of the public is either concerned or alarmed, very much gets it. There's another, you know, 30%+ who are kind of confused and don't know who to trust. And the deniers are something like 8%. In New York, since the state passed this very advanced, very well-conceived climate law in 2019, there has been organized pushback. And I'm, you know, sorry to say that, you know, organizations like the Propane Dealers Association of New York State have been behind, you know, a video that literally says they're coming for your furnace. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of disinformation. And yet some of the utilities, notably Con Ed, have taken a stand, we can do this, and they're making transition plans. So, you know, it's about amplifying the accurate information and the commitment and, you know, also just standing up to disinformation.
Yeah, you mentioned the climate plan, and I will say one of the groups that's been doing a lot of the pushback, unfortunately, has been parts of the organized labor movement, you know, who are concerned about the loss of jobs.
That's so sad. I mean, you know, I get that if you've been delivering, you know, delivering fuel for 30 years and you're making a high wage, you're not excited about being retrained to climb up on roofs and install solar panels for $16 an hour. But propane delivery trucks could be retrofitted to be electric and could be picking up compost, for crying out loud. So I think I just, let me have lunch with a labor union leader just once, please. Because I think there's an opportunity for vision and creativity that we're just not achieving yet.
So we've been talking with Melissa Everett, Executive Director of Sustainable Hudson Valley, the Festival of Climate Solutions, for September 17th to 25th. Melissa, if people want more information, how best can they do that?
www.sustainhv, as in Hudson Valley, .org, and that links to hvclimatesolutionsweek.org. And, you know, plug in, spread the word, lots of fun things to do.
Thank you very much, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Hudson, Catskill.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy that took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Someday. just to kiss your sweet, sweet lips, baby. Hold you ever, ever so tight, and I wanna say it. Someday we'll be together. Yes, we will, yes, we will. Someday we'll be together. Yes, we will.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we are here every week to talk about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish.
And bookish. Things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Because that's what we do
every day.
Or
else it wouldn't be called Bound by Books. It'd be called Bound by Everything But Books.
Everything except. Maybe not everything. I don't know. We're not bound by every single thing.
That would be problematic if we were bound by everything. My brain is very tired right now. I'm trying to get to function, but it's on almost dead mode.
Oh dear. Sorry to hear. I have moments of that too. But anyways, we should talk about some books.
Yes.
Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
Why don't you?
Okay. So I decided that this week I wanted to share some books that are either recently out or coming soon that sound good. So I'll start with one that is out that was written for teens. It's called Nothing More to Tell by Karen M. McManus. And there was a book by Karen McManus that we read for Battle of the Books one year called One of Us is Lying that was really fun. It was a little page-turning mystery about some students in school. And one of them dies while they're in detention, and they're trying to figure out who amongst them caused this student's death. And so it's kind of like The Breakfast Club, but with a dark side. So here's the description for this one, Nothing More to Tell. 4 years ago, Bryn left St. Ambrose School following the shocking murder of her favorite teacher. A story that made headlines after the teacher's body was found by three St. Ambrose students in the woods behind their school. The case was never solved. Now that Bryn is moving home and starting her dream internship at a true crime show, she's determined to find out what really happened. The kids who found Mr. Larkin are her way in, and her ex-best friend, Trip Talbot, was one of them. Without his account of events, the other two kids might have gone down for Mr. Larkin's murder, but instead, thanks to Trip, they're now at the top of the St. Ambrose social pyramid. Trip's friends have never forgotten what Trip did for them that day, and neither has he, just like he hasn't forgotten that everything he told the police was a lie. Digging into the past is bound to shake up the present, and when Bryn begins to investigate what happened in the woods that day, she uncovers secrets that might change everything about St. Ambrose, about Mr. Larkin, and about her ex-best friend, Trip Talbot. 4 years ago, someone got away with murder. More terrifying is that they might be closer than anyone thinks. Dun, dun, dun.
So is this a novel?
This is a novel for teens.
For teens?
Yes.
It sounds amazing. I'm reading it.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I think I like the connection to the true crime show. I'm curious how that will fit in.
Mm-hmm.
So another one I'm excited about, and these are all novels. They're not graphic novels, which you know how much I love graphic novels, but these are all novels, which I also love.
I'm fine with novels.
They're called novels. Just kidding.
I'm fine with novels.
exactly. Okay, so the next one just came out this week, and it is called Attack of the Black Rectangles by A.S. King, who is one of my favorite authors. And I think this is one of her first books for middle grade readers. I think she has one, maybe just one other book. Most of her books are written for teens, but this one's for middle grade readers. And here is the description. Award-winning author Amy Sarah King, A.S. King. Oh, I guess when she writes for middle grade, maybe she goes by her full name. I don't know. But anyways, A.S. King takes on censorship and intolerance in a novel she was born to write. When Mac first opens his classroom copy of Jane Yolen's The Devil's Arithmetic and finds some words blacked out, he thinks it must be a mistake. But then when he and his friends discover what the missing words are, he's outraged. Someone in his school is trying to prevent kids from reading the full story, but who? Even though his unreliable dad tells him to not get so emotional about a book or anything else, Mac has been raised by his mom and granddad to call out things that are wrong. He and his friends head to the principal's office to protest the censorship, but her response doesn't take them seriously. So many adults want Mac to keep his words to himself. Mac's about to see the power of letting them out. In Attack of the Black Rectangles, acclaimed author Amy Sarah King shows all the ways truth can be hard, but still worth fighting for. So that is Attack of the Black Rectangles, and that's a middle grade novel. What would you do if you found a book in the library that had all these words blacked out?
I would probably go to the librarian and ask her what happened, and then I'd look up the book name at home and find a PDF of it and then look.
I'm curious if they talked to the librarian about it. And I know, I mean, if it was in our library here, unless it was like, if it was just a couple words, I might just write in the words, but otherwise we might replace the copy if it was a lot of damage. But I think sometimes school library budgets are like trickier. Like it's not as easy just to like replace any book that gets damaged. I don't know if that's still the case because I have never been a school librarian, but my mom was one. And I know she had like certain time periods where she could like order stuff. So there were some limitations around ordering. But yeah, I'm curious to check that out. I also have never read The Devil's Arithmetic. I'll need to do that sometime. I like Jane Yolen. And I had one other book that I wanted to share that I'm excited for this month. And it is another novel for middle grade. And it is called Island of Spies. It's by Sheila Turnage. And Sheila Turnage wrote a book that I really loved that got a Newbery Honor called Three Times Lucky. I don't know if you've ever read that one, but it was really good. And the audiobook is excellent, if anyone likes audiobooks. But this one is Island of Spies. And here is the description. From the Newbery Honor winning author of Three Times Lucky comes a middle grade World War II spy mystery with as much humor and heart as high stakes. 12-year-old Stick Larson lives on Hatteras Island, North Carolina, where life moves steady as the tides and mysteries abound as long as you look really hard for them. Stick and her friends Rain and Neb are good at looking hard. They call themselves the Dime Novel Kids, and the only thing Stick wants more than a paying case for them to solve is the respect that comes with it. But on Hatteras, the tides are changing. World War II looms, curious newcomers have appeared on the small island, and in the waters off its shore, a wartime menace lurks that will upend Stick's life and those of everyone she loves. The Dimes are about to face more mysteries than they ever could have wished for, and risk more than they ever could have imagined. So
that sounds really fun.
And I really loved that book, Three Times Lucky. I haven't read the other books in that series. I should someday, but that first book was so good. But that's what really drew me to this one at first was the author's name. But then the description sounds really good. I think the mix of like historical fiction and like mystery will be really fun. So that one's not out until a little bit later this month. It comes out September 20th. But you can keep an eye out for that one. But yeah, those are three books that I'm hoping to read this month or sometime very soon. So what did you want to talk about today, Georgia?
So I read a book called, and probably a lot of people know this book, it's very popular, but I just read it. It's called Be Prepared by Vera Bruskell. Oh, yeah. And so I'll read the description. And it's really good. And yeah, I definitely recommend it. Dear Mom, camp is nothing like I expected. I know all my rich friends back home think I'm weird, but I was sure that Russian summer camp, everyone would be like me, and we'd sing songs and eat s'mores and be best friends. Nope. The girls in my tent are 5 years older than me, and they do not want me here. This camp has no electricity, no plumbing, and absolutely no candy. And the outhouse, I can't even think about the outhouse without gagging. I can't survive 2 weeks of this. Please come get me. Please. I'm desperate. Love, Vera. I love how the description is done in a letter to her mom.
So what do you think of the book?
It was a great book. Really, really good.
Yeah, I don't remember the story very much on that, but I do remember really liking it a lot. I like Vera Bruskell. Her work is very fun.
And I think that this is inspired off of her experiences as a kid. That's what did I just remembering. Say inspired on her experience?
So. Maybe you did. Okay. But I heard you correctly.
Okay, so I probably said inspired.
I also like, I think basically anything set at summer camp is fun for me, as long as it's written well.
The story's I love summer camp books, except I've never been to sleepaway camp.
Maybe you will someday.
I want to. Maybe next year.
Yeah. In my memory, it feels like a bigger part of my childhood than it actually was. I mean, I went on a lot of trips with my Girl Scout troop where like the parents were with us, but I think I only went to sleepaway camp a handful of times, like outside of that, like where I went away for like a week or two. It was always also, with the Girl Scouts.
Emily, do you have anything that you're looking forward to?
In life?
Yes, in life.
Oh, sure. I have stuff I'm looking forward to. Well, I could tell you about an upcoming library event I'm excited for. Next Tuesday, September 13th at 4 o'clock here at the library, Hudson Area Library, Lemony Snicket and Lisa Brown are going to be doing an author and illustrator talk sharing their picture book, Goldfish Ghost.
Lemony Snicket?
Yep. And Lisa Brown.
The Lemony Snicket?
Well, assuming Lemony Snicket can come, because I hear sometimes his assistant, Daniel Handler, comes instead, which is really Lemony Snicket. They're the same person.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. When? What time? When?
It's on Tuesday, September 13th at 4 o'clock.
Tuesday, September 13th.
But yeah, so Lemony Snicket and Lisa Brown are, well, Lemony Snicket is an author. And Lisa Brown is both an author and an illustrator, but for the book Goldfish Ghost, they work together. And they've done other books together too. So Lemony Snicket wrote the words and Lisa Brown did the illustrations. And she's done some other books that we have in our collection for older readers too. She did The Phantom Twin and she did the illustrations for Picture the Dead, which I really loved by Adele Griffin. And then of course, Lemony Snicket has the series of Unfortunate Events and is it Who Could, I forget what the series is called, but like Who Could This Be at That Hour or something like that. There are a bunch of question books as well as he's written books for adults and teens too.
Super into Lemony Snicket's work. I actually haven't read any of his books, but I'm really into the show version.
Oh yeah.
Usually show adaptions of books aren't the best, but there are a few exceptions. A Series of Unfortunate Events, do not watch it when I'm happy because it'll immediately take me down. But if I'm just gloomy, I watch it. And basically, it's just these orphans and just bad things happen to them over and over. I love it so much.
Yeah, that was a fun series. I actually preferred the books to the show. So you should read them sometime.
Yeah, I'm going to.
They're really well written.
Lemony Snicket.
And Goldfish Ghost is really sweet.
I'm going to meet Lemony Snicket.
But yeah, so that's Tuesday, September 13th, 4 to 5 o'clock in the community room at the library. They'll talk a little bit about writing and do a little illustration, and there might be some music. We'll see. But yeah, so I'm excited for that. In addition to writing really great books, Lemony Snicket contributed portions to this book called, I think it was called The New American Haggadah. And there's a section of it that we use in our Haggadah. So like every Passover, we read some of his words. So I look forward to being like, thanks for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, we have a lot of programs this month at the library that I'm excited about. We have the Ghostly Gallop is going to be in person this year. I'm excited for that. We have a really cool exhibit in the library right now as part of the Hudson Eye Festival. We have sculptures and paintings by Stacy Petty that are on display in the community room and in the main space of the library. So there's all these like really cool sculptures throughout the space that are really, really neat. And I love that. So I hope everyone will check that out while they're here. Stop by the library sometime soon, see the art. What are you excited about?
So school started a week from yesterday, and currently I'm really excited about band. I'm doing band at my middle school. I'm in sixth grade and I'm doing band. I am playing the trombone with two of my friends, and I'm super excited. And yeah, so I had band today, but like we haven't gotten it. Nobody's gotten their instruments yet. So we just basically talked about like rules and worked on music reading. I really like that he doesn't expect everyone to know it, because I've had some music teachers where they're like, okay, and they make you read music, and then some kids are like, huh? And then they're like, you don't know how to read music? I'm not telling you. Go home and figure it out yourself. But he's focusing a lot on that, which I really like. My band teacher is super nice. So, and I get to do it with two of my friends. And they're both playing trombone with me. And I'm super excited. Well, actually, three of my friends are also in band, except they're, one of them is playing the flute and two are playing trumpet, but I don't really see them since they're playing different instruments. But
how did you choose trombone? Or were you assigned it?
We weren't assigned. Well, I really like the sound, and also my dad played trombone in high school band. I mean, he wanted me to try something else because he wanted me to be my own person. And my dad was like, be your own person. My mom was too. But I just really like the trombone sound, and it's really fun to play. Basically, to play it, you just do this into it. You basically just blow raspberries into it to play. And to every once in a while, after you're done playing, you have to open something called a spit valve and empty out the spit into the sink. It's pretty gross.
Don't have to do that with piano.
Luckily. But I'm so excited. So
I wonder how many instruments have spit valves. It's a good trivia question. But I also